Jai Radhamadhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara Dhari. Jashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana. Jashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tiravana Chari. Jamunati Ravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara Dhari. Jashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana. Jashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tiravana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Punman Supadi Braj Kacharja Ashto Tarasat Shri Shimad AC Bhakti Vedanta Shami Miraj Prabhupad Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Punman Supadi Braj Kacharja Ashto Tarasat Shri Shimad Bhakti Siddhanta Sarshati Go Shami Miraj Prabhupad Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Brinda Ki Jai. Nama Charja Shri Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sakaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shriva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindaki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyam Mukunda Radha Kunigiri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Tham ki jai, Navadip Tham ki jai, Jagannath Puri ki jai, Ganga Mayi ki jai, Jamana Mayi ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.
Bhagavad Gita as it is, 9:31. Page 438 in my book. Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma. Shashvat Chantim Nigachchati. Kaunteya Pratijanihi. Name Bhakta Pranashyati. Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma. Shashvat Chantim Nigachchati. Kaunteya Pratijanihi. Name Bhakta Pranashyati. Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma. Shashvat Chantim Nigachchati. Kaunteya Pratijanihi. Name Bhakta Pranashyati. Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma. Shashvat Chantim Nigachchati. Kaunteya Pratijanihi. Name Bhakta Pranashyati. Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma. Shashvat Chantim Nigachchati. Kaunteya Pratijanihi. Name Bhakta Pranashyati. Kshipram. Very soon. Bhavati becomes Dharma Atma. Righteous. Shashvat. Shantim. Lasting peace. Nigachchati. Attains. Kaunteya. O son of Kunti. Pratijanihi. Declare. Na. Never. Me. My. Bhaktaha. Devotee. Pranashyati. Perishes. He quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Purport. This should not be misunderstood. In the seventh chapter, the Lord says that one who is engaged in mischievous activities cannot become a devotee of the Lord. One who is not a devotee of the Lord has no good qualifications whatsoever. The question remains then, how can a person engaged in abominable activities, either by accident or by intention, be a pure devotee? This question may justly be raised. The miscreants, as stated in the seventh chapter, who never come to the devotional service of the Lord, have no good qualifications, as is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Generally, a devotee who is engaged in the nine kinds of devotional activities is engaged in the process of cleansing all material contamination from the heart. He puts the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart, and all sinful contaminations are naturally washed away. Continuous thinking of the Supreme Lord makes him pure by nature, According to the Vedas, there is a certain regulation that if one falls down from his exalted position, he has to undergo certain ritualistic processes to purify himself. But here there is no such condition, because the purifying process is already there in the heart of the devotee, due to his remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly. I thought I don't need to do a phone check. There's only three people.
First, you leave your person, and then the phone's on.
Right. Therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, should be continued without stoppage. This will protect a devotee from all accidental fall downs. He will thus remain perpetually free from all material contamination. Om Gyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mayam Tadhati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalang Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamstra. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Brindabaneshari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Vancha Kopataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I have a job for you. Could you turn this on? That's it. Thank you. No, I think I'm not so brave. Maybe it would be good. I don't know. Should I try it? It's not very chilly. We'll give it a go and see what happens. Krishna's continuing from where he left off. By the way, what's my time frame? Krishna's continuing from where he left off. He didn't leave off. He's just continuing. Apichet sudaracharo bhajate imam ananya bhag. Sadhureva samantavya samyag vyabhasito visa. Krishna has said that even if a devotee engages in sudarachar, he has to be considered a sadhu. Durachar means, Prabhupada said, mischievous behavior, ill behavior, sinful behavior, durachar. And sudurachar, seriously wrong behavior. Even if a devotee engages in sudurachar, if he sticks to the devotional service of the Lord without reservation, bhajate imam ananya bhag, sadhureva samantavya, he has to be considered a saintly person. Eva is emphatic. Must absolutely be considered a saintly person. Samyak vyavasitas hisaha, because he's properly situated in his determination to serve Krishna. No, it's okay. Need to get this out from under me, but that's not your job. There we go. Yas yasti bhaktir bhagavat yakinchana sirvaya gunais tatra samasute sura. A devotee is expected to have or to develop all the good qualities of the demigods. Elsewhere, yesham tantagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante mam dridhavrita. Who can seriously engage in the service of Krishna? A person who's come to the end of all sinful activities. Antagatam papam. No intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling. No sinful life. Jananam punyakarmanam. Rather, on the contrary, he's engaged in all pious activities. Te dvandva moha nirmukta. He can be freed from all duality and illusion. Ichcha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena par. We're all here because of the dualities of envy of Krishna and desire to enjoy Krishna's property. On that account, dvandva mohena, we're bewildered by the dualities of illusion. And therefore, birth and death, birth and death, birth and death. So the devotees are able to, one who comes to devotional service should be understood to have come to the end of sinful life and performed pious activities. So how is it then that someone may be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord and still do something called sudurachars, very wrong behavior? Srila Prabhupada explains that material life and spiritual life are generally designed to go side by side. so that our material activities are congenial to our spiritual progress. But sometimes it so happens that they cross. Material life and spiritual life cross, and then there's a possibility that the devotee may fall down or may engage in very wrong behavior. But Krishna still says, sadhureva, and he's very emphatic. Book Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has this very nice dialogue where he's opening up the verse, and Krishna's insisting that, well, what if he's okay if he used to perform sinful activities, but he's free from sinful activities now, then he can be considered a sadhu. Krishna says, no. Even if you find that he's performing sinful activities, you still have to consider him a sadhu. Well, okay, if it's, you know, some small-time sinful activity. No, even if it's sudurachar, most serious activities, you have to consider him a saintly person. And then Krishna picks up some wampers, where he says, you go out and take these wampers and declare it in the street that my devotee is never vanquished. So he's very strong about it. Very strong about it. Yas yasti bhaktir bhagavat chikinchana survayagunais tetra samasate sura harava bhakta sikato mahaguna. A person who's not a devotee may seem to be a very good gentleman, truthful, humble, honest, well behaved. But if he's not a devotee of the Lord, then he has no good qualities. I've given the example a few times that you find somebody, he's cultured, he's well-dressed, he speaks nicely, he's congenial, he's polite, he's generous, and he's the local head of the mafia. Right? He has all these good qualities, but because he's a criminal, so it doesn't matter, you know, that he loves his mom or that he's gives a tip to the cab driver or whatever. He's a criminal. So all of those other qualities get canceled out. So a person who's a non-devotee, that's his position. Maybe cultured, polite, come from a good family, all sorts of nice qualities. But they're all considered zero without Krishna consciousness. He's a criminal, because he's trying to enjoy Krishna's property very politely, very fairly, very honestly. He wants to steal Krishna's property and enjoy it for himself. So, harava bhaktasya kutoma, what good qualities does he have, or what's the value of his supposed good qualities? Mano retainasati tavatobi. At any time, he could show his true colors when push comes to shove, just like sometimes we see. And in family life, you know, family members are very, what would you say? Yeah, affectionate to one another, and they're so nice to one another. Until the inheritance time comes. And then anything goes. I know of some cases like that. You know, the first one to court, and whoosh, you know, grab everything as quick as you can, and doesn't matter who else there might be, just grab it for yourself and run. That means manovratayanasati tavatobhi, all that affection and all those good dealings and everything, it all goes out the window as soon as our own self-interest comes to the fore. A devotee doesn't have self-interest. He has Krishna's interest. Even if there may be some appearance of self-interest, that's unconstitutional for him. It's just something that's, you know, come in the transom, as they say, come over the transom. But the real thing is that he's constitutionally engaged in Krishna's service and just something incongruent has temporarily shown its face, but that will pass. That will go. Kshipram, Kshipram means quickly. Kshipram hi manushe loke. Kshipram bhavati. So kshipram means quickly. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma. Dharmatma means righteous, a person whose life is the life of prescribed duties, the life of devotional service to Krishna. Dharmatma. Yudhisthira Maharaj is dharmatma, dharmaraj. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma. Very quickly he comes back to the standard. It's not the materialist. He shows his colors and that's it. Those are his real colors. The other thing was a show. It was, you know, painted on. It's a veneer. And once the veneer is, just like you get a laptop, you know, and it's like what is it? You know, it's all shiny maroon or shiny white or something. And then all the shine wears off and you see what's there. It's just, you know, some crummy plastic or crummy metal or something like that. That's what's constitutionally there. And there's some covering painted on, which eventually wears off. And then you see what it really is. So for the materialist, all his good qualities are sort of painted on, and at any time, you know, they can be chipped off or washed away or another way, one way or another. The real thing comes out, that selfishness and materialistic outlook. Let me, false ego, finally. I'm this body and this is mine. And a devotee, there may be something temporarily on the surface, but his real stuff is devotional service. And that quickly reasserts itself. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma. He becomes righteous. And Prabhupada points out, he doesn't have to do some purifying activity to reach that. On the Karmakandya path, if you do something sinful, you have to counteract it with some penance, some prayaschitta, it's called some purificatory thing. And Prabhupada explained, in something commensurate to the mistake, like medicine, if it's a light ailment, you take a light medicine, and if it's heavy, you take a heavy medicine. Or in crime, if it's a light offense, you get a light sentence. If it's a heavy offense, you get a heavy sentence. One way or another, you have to pay according to the severity. So similarly, there's this prayaschitta. If we perform some sinful activity, then we're supposed to make up for that by some ceremony, not just a ceremony, some rituals or some serious... you have to give charity, or you have to observe some fasting, or you have to do some yajñas, or you have to do something. There are some brahmins whose job it is to prescribe. You know, if you did this, then you should do this. If you did that, you should do that. So we consult the brahmins, and they say, oh, for this, this. And sometimes it's so heavy, they say something like, you should drink boiling ghee, which means suicide. Then you atone for your sinful activities. But Krishna says, what is that? Api papebhya, what is that? Sarvebhya papa krita maha, sarva gana pleva inaiva brijanam santarishasi. What's the beginning? Api chet asipapebhya. Even if you're the most sinful person, when you're situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, you can cross over the ocean of... Okay, we got it right. Krishna's mercy. Same thing. You may be the most sinful person... Api chet asi papebhya sarvebhya papakritama. Even if you're the most number one sinner among sinners, you're the most sinful. Even if that, Once one is situated in transcendental knowledge, he can cross over the ocean of material existence. So that transcendental knowledge means ultimately Krishna consciousness. Ultimately Krishna consciousness. Srila Rupa Goswami explains that one of the qualities of devotional service is that it frees one from all sinful reactions. That's one of its qualities. Therefore, if one is engaged in devotional service, what else does he have to do to be purified? There's nothing more purifying than devotional service. So what else will he do? Anything else would be less. Anything else would be less. Devotional service itself is the most purifying process. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami says that if one commits some mistake or some sinful act, if one falls down from devotional service, then one should just pick oneself up by devotional service. Someplace the example is given, a child falls on the ground and he picks himself up by the same ground, you know, pushes against the earth and stands up again. So if one falls from devotional service, the best way to come back to one's natural position is devotional service. There's nothing better than that. It's the most pavitram paramam bhavan. No, not pavitram paramam bhavan. Yeah, the pratyakshavagamam dharmam susukam. Yeah, rajavidya rajaguyam. Then, pavitram idam uttamam. It's pavitra. It's purifying. Krishna is the purest of the pure. And therefore, by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one also becomes pure. So there's nothing more sublime and pure than Krishna consciousness. So, kripram bhavati dharma. Even though a devotee may sometimes fall, when he's determined to perform devotional service no matter what, kripram bhavati dharma, he quickly becomes restored to his wholesome position, Prabhupada says. Kripram bhavati dharma ma shashvach chantam nigachyati. And he comes to the platform of eternal peace, perfect peace. Bhukti mukti siddhi kami shakala ashanta. Krishna bhakta nishkama deva shanta. Those who are after material enjoyment, those who are after liberation, those who are after mystic powers, are all agitated because they have some ulterior motive, some motive for enjoyment. Even mukti is for their own enjoyment. Therefore, they're not peaceful. But Krishna Bhakta Nishkam, a pure devotee, has no desire. Niskinchanasya Bhagavat Bhajanon Mukasya. He has no desire, niskinchana. Ateva shanta, therefore he's actually peaceful. Sashantim apnoti nakamakami. What is that? Of chalam pratishtam samudramapa pravishanti yadvat tadvat kama yam pravishanti sarve. Sashantim apnoti nakamakami. The devotee actually has no material desires. Maybe he gets caught by something, but constitutionally he has no desire for independent enjoyment. Therefore, he's like the ocean, which has so many rivers running into it, and yet remains steady. So he's peaceful. Nakamakami, not the person who's... this word is so interesting. Kamakami, a person who's desiring to desire. Kamakami. people are, the process of sense gratification is the process of agitating the mind and then trying to fulfill the agitation. One imagines that's kind of advertising's job, is to agitate your mind. I gotta have it, gotta have it, gotta have it. And then when you get it, you say, oh, I got it. But you didn't need it to begin with. But the mind becomes agitated, gotta have it, gotta have it. And the materialistic person is in the process of, how do you enjoy? Unless your mind is agitated, there's no desire to fulfill. So first you have to agitate the mind, then you can fulfill. Just like people say, well, if there's no suffering, how can there be enjoyment? You know, so if the mind is not agitated, how can you satisfy it? So first you agitate the mind, and then you, what's the word, assuage the agitation. The whole porn industry is based on that principle. First to agitate the mind, and then do something to reduce the agitation. Just from a business point of view, they were the first people making money on the internet. When everybody, all the publishers and so on, were trying to think, they said, we know the internet is like, we see it coming, it's big, it's, you know, we have to be there, we're spending money, we're building websites, but how do you make money from it? You know, nobody could figure that out. But the porn guys had figured it out long before. They were already doing a big business. Anyway, like the whole history there, but talk about France and so on. But based on what? The principle of agitating the mind and then satisfying the agitation. And then you say, wow. But what was it? You just satisfied an agitation that didn't need to be there in the begin with. So kama kami, this is the diseased condition, building up our desires so that we can satisfy them. It's a kind of madness. Kama kami, desiring to desire. Desiring to desire. Or Prabhupada said, agitating the mind for sense gratification. Sankalpa prabhavan kamas. Krishna describes elsewhere that these material desires are born from mental concoction. Sankalpa means mental concoction. And so often when the other side of it is we build up something in our mind about sense enjoyment, and then we do it, whatever it is, we buy the thing, or we marry the girl, or we go on the adventure, or whatever it is, and then it's not what it turned out to be. And so then we have to concoct something new. Well, it was, you know, North Dakota is really not it. I'm going to go to Tahiti. Susie's really not it. Sally is more like it. Whatever it is, concocting something newer and newer for, you know, I didn't get enough, or I didn't do it the right way, or was the wrong place at the wrong time, or the wrong person, or the wrong something. But this time, you know, I'll shift my, I'll think outside the box, you know. They don't realize that all they're thinking about outside the box is exactly within the box. The box is mental concoction for sense gratification. And they're so much in that box that even when they're outside the box, they're in it. That's their situation. Sankalpa prabhavan kamans. So, kama kami, agitating the mind for sense gratification. But therefore they're not peaceful. There's always something new to agitate the mind, or they're always looking for something new to agitate the mind. And going out and doing something that they know is going to agitate their minds. And that's kind of a pleasure. That's kind of pleasure. Agitate the mind. It's just like gambling. What is it? It's basically agitating the mind. But, you know, I'll go broke agitating my mind. You can win, you can win, you can win. Or, you know, dangerous sports where the job is to high risk and all of that. Then it wasn't high enough risk, so then you have to do something more risky. Or the whole material civilization where you have to have newer and newer things, toys, cars, gadgets, kamakami. The old things aren't good. I went to Walmart with somebody, and we wound up spending about $5 for a few things. But among other things we saw were razor blades, Gillette and all of that. And a couple years back, not too many years back, they'd gone from having one blade to having two. And now how many are there in the blade? Three, and now it's five? And it's like, for four blades, it's like $18. Right? What is going on? You know, you won't be happy. You won't have a close shave unless you've got five blades working on your cheek at the same time. It's madness. The job was getting done with one blade. Two blades was overkill. Three blades was ridiculous. And now it's five. But creating a problem so that you'll embrace the solution. The problem is that three is not enough, and the answer is five. Oh, what is that trip? Yantineha kripana bahudukapaja. Sex life. It's never enough. You always have to have more. And, you know, the way we used to do it isn't enough, so we have five or seven different things you can try. You know, have you tried, you've tried girls, have you tried boys yet? Have you tried children yet? Have you tried animals yet? Well, you know, you haven't lived till you've... And agitating the mind for newer and newer ideas for sense enjoyment. Or the movies, it just means watching other people's sex life. What enjoyment is there? What enjoyment is there in watching other people have sex life? But that's the movies. You know, gross or subtle dealings of men and women. And it's just pixels on a screen, or if it's not digital, it's just light on a screen somehow. And what kind of enjoyment is what one going to get? But it's all sankalpa prabhavan, come on. Kama kami. And therefore, no one is peaceful. You could have a peace meter. You know, people when they walk in and people when they walk out. Are they now more peaceful that they've, you know, spent $15 and watched other people in their bedrooms? I mean, is that now their minds are more calm and quiet? The whole civilization is like that. Agitating the mind, agitating the mind, agitating the mind. And people rushing around. Life, liberty, and the mad pursuit of happiness. Note, pursuit, not attainment. So, sashantamat apnoti, the person who's satisfied. Therefore, Krishna says, this is austerity of the mind. What is that? Satisfaction, yeah. What is that verse? Mana prasada somyatvam. Mana prasada. Just to be satisfied with whatever you get. Mana prasada somyatvam. Something atma vinigraha. Mana prasada somyatvam. Monam atma vinigraha.
It's 1716.
Monam, keeping your mouth shut. This is austerity. Mana prasada, that's the first item of austerity. It's just be satisfied. People are thinking that by throwing austerity to the wind, that, you know, austerity is what's keeping me from enjoying. Austere, you know, the person's austere, yeah, he doesn't know how to enjoy. It's the opposite. The person who has no austerity is on the path of unlimited dissatisfaction. Because the more they try to enjoy, the more they suffer. Tripyantineha kripana bahu dukkabhaja. So, this is austerity, satisfaction of the mind. So, shashvat chantam, real satisfaction of the mind is to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. When the mind is absorbed in Krishna, then the mind is peaceful. There's no peaceful place in the material world. Mana prasad, even to be satisfied in the mode of goodness, is only relatively, that's relative peace. That's temporary peace. But shashvat chantam, eternal peace. Even in the mode of goodness, you don't get eternal peace. You get peace for some time. Maybe for your whole life, more or less. Unlikely, but maybe. But certainly not more. You don't get eternal peace, even from austerity and goodness or life and goodness. But by being engaged always in the service of Krishna, shashvat chantam, one becomes freed from all unwanted things, one's heart becomes purified, one becomes peaceful. Shashvat chantam nigacchati kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. Declare it that my devotee will never be vanquished. Prabhupada comments that Krishna asks Arjuna to declare it because Krishna's word may not always be believed. He has something of a reputation for being tricky. He's from Mathura. Mathura Wallas are known to be a little crooked. And Krishna, in any case, is known to be a little crooked, if not a lot crooked. I mean, even the way he stands is crooked. So he's known for being maybe not always ultra-honest. So Krishna tells Arjuna, you declare it. Because Krishna will always protect the word of his devotee. Even Brahma gave so many promises to Hiranyakashipu. And Krishna acted in such a way that all the promises were kept intact. So he protects the promise of his devotee. Narad Muni cursed the Nalakuvara and Manigriva that you'll have to stand as trees, but Krishna will come and deliver. So Krishna did that. So he fulfills the words of his devotees. So he told Arjuna, you declare it. Then people will have confidence that this is on the up and up, that it's legitimate. Name bhakta pranashati. Pranashati, not that materially a devotee won't die, a devotee will never be sick, a devotee's business will never go south. No. Materially, everything is doomed. Everyone's body will be finished. Everyone's business will be finished. Sooner or later, everything is a lost cause. But spiritually, the devotee is always delivered by Krishna. And particularly, from the path of inauspicious activities or sinful behavior, if a devotee is genuinely Krishna conscious, then very quickly he'll come back to the right point. By sinful activities, one ruins his life. But if one is Krishna conscious, even if somehow, of course, a devotee tries to act in such a way that his activities will all be pure. But even if somehow such a thing happens, if a devotee is sincerely dedicated to Krishna, then Krishna will uplift him. Bhavami na chirat partha maya veshita chetasa. But Prabhupada cautions that no one should take advantage of this verse. Nam nad balad yasyahi papa buddhi. I'm chanting Hare Krishna, so if I do X, Y, or Z, Krishna will understand because I'm a devotee, then that becomes very serious. That one should never do. Okay, any questions? Comments? Questions? Or something else?
Maharaj. Maharaj, in the 11th canto, Krishna is explaining to Uddhava. So in one of the sections he explains, you know, that when the devotee, he does sense gratification, he repents after that.
He what?
He repents.
Yeah.
So can you tell more about that, this section?
Yeah, Prabhupada says in first canto that all of the impurities in the heart are burned up by the fire of sincere repentance. A devotee doesn't think, I did such and such thing, but what the hell? He thinks that. That's also in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment. He thinks that I'm the most disgraceful person. I'm an embarrassment to the society of devotees. Damn me. Very much regrets it. That's the characteristic of a devotee. He doesn't think, well, anyway, you know, I'm a pure devotee, so it's okay. You know, little slack. It's okay. Cut myself a little slack because, after all, I'm a devotee. Few little affairs here and there. It's, you know, kind of understandable. We all need to let off some steam sometimes. No, he thinks, you know, this is very horrible. So he sincerely regrets it, and because of that sincere regret, Krishna, he's purified.
In the 11th canto also, Krishna tells Uddhava that as an expert horseman knows how to let out the reins and then draw them back in. Similarly, in controlling the mind, one shouldn't always be drawing in, but sometimes has to know how to give the mind some slack. That's the essence of the verse, not the exact translation. And in the interest of yukta and being balanced, what does that mean? How do you do that?
It means when there's material interest, then there's vairagya. And when there's Krishna's interest, then there's yukta. Just Krishna consciousness is sense gratification, but it's real sense gratification. To be engaged in the service of Krishna is enjoyment. So, or to think of Krishna as enjoyment. So we're not like, no, you can't have anything. No, you want to think of Krishna, you can think of Krishna. Prabhupada explains the same thing in connection with Kurmon Gani Vasarvashaha. The tortoise who extends his limbs. Because you read that verse and always think, yeah, the tortoise, he knows how to retract his limbs. And that's the example. That one has to be able to pull the senses away from everything, just as the tortoise pulls the limbs inside of the shell. But the real example of the tortoise is it pulls its limbs in, but it also extends its limbs. It knows how to do, it's not a one-trick pony, it knows how to do both things. So we have to know how to retract our senses from sense gratification, from material activities. For that, you know, our senses are unavailable. But for the service of Krishna, for that, they're available, and that's enjoyment. Chanting Hare Krishna is enjoyment. Honoring prasadam is enjoyment. Seeing the beautiful form of the deity is enjoyment. So for that, the mind is allowed. Okay, we'll let the reins out. You can enjoy.
You mentioned at length that people try to agitate their minds. You gave examples.
They succeed too.
Must be, because many of them are engaged in that. You gave examples of movies and other things. So why would they want to do that if ultimately it's going to lead to dissatisfaction?
Because they're in a disease condition. They're in a disease condition. Probably the example Prahlad Maharaj gives, what is that? Tripyanti neha kripana bahudu dukha bhaja. Kanduyanena karayori vadukha dukha. Their enjoyment is like scratching an itch. We all know what happens when you scratch an itch. But everybody scratches it. So that's Prahlad Maharaj's example, that we're all scratching an itch and scratching an itch and scratching an itch, and it's itching more. You get, you know, maybe half a second relief, and then it gets bigger. He says, especially this sex life means agitating the mind or scratching the itch. Gandu Tivan, what is that? Yeah, the last line. Krana Bahutu Kabajam. Gandu Tivan. Manasi Jam. Vishahe Tadira. This is all mental concoction. And the sober person, Dhiras Tachandamuyati, the sober person isn't bewildered, he tolerates it. But okay, if I just scratch this, it's going to get worse. Now, the best thing is not to scratch it. Vishaheta Dhira. Therefore, Dhiras Tachandamuyati. One is meant to become Dhira, sober. You know, people are like, gaga is the term, you know, people are gaga over something. It means they take pleasure in, you know, diving into something that's going to be, you know, self-destructive even. You know, you're drinking, good example. You know, everybody knows the more you drink, the worse off you are. They destroy their livers, they destroy their families, they destroy their jobs, they destroy their this, and they keep doing it. That's, you know, a gross example. You know, severe gamblers, severe drunkards, severe drug guys. They're mentally concocted sex enjoyment. I was going to say sense enjoyment. Sex enjoyment is really right. It's, you know, they can't give it up. Some example, that Viagra was and is a big, you know, top-selling item. But it has a contraindication. If a person has a heart condition, then Viagra is contraindicated. I guess, you know, all the heartbeat gets too much and, you know, you can die. So what was happening? People were going to some physician who didn't know their case. You know, they wouldn't go to their family physician. They, you know, some unknown physician go to the, you know, hello doc, and you know, get this stuff prescribed. That means risking their life. You know, for that 2 minutes, less than 2 minutes pleasure, risking their life. That means not sober. You know, a person who's drunk can do anything. A person who's, you know, cocaine head can do anything. A person who's addicted to sex enjoyment, he risks his life. And even, you know, some guy's, he's after some girl and the girl's married, and the guy risks his life. You know, the husband can come and sometimes I know one case the husband was like, you know, a crusher, you know, big guy. And there's some, you know, foolish little kid is playing with his wife. It means risking his neck. For what? Some imagination that, you know, it's better over here. Dhiras Tachandamuyati. That means muyati, bewildered. Why are they doing these things? Because they're bewildered. I'm this body. That's already bewilderment. And I will be happy by whatever my mind is telling me I'll be happy with. That's more bewilderment. Why? By the association of passion and ignorance. Kamesha krodesha rajaguna samudbhava. Tadarajas tamo bhava kamalopadiyas chaye chayde taranavidham stitam sattva prasidati. When one is engaged in Krishna consciousness, then rajas and tamas recede. Then, along with that, kam, lobh, mada, moha, the whole thing. Chete taranabhidham, the mind becomes pure. Stitam sattve, proceed. And then they're situated in the mode of goodness, and they become satisfied. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogata bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. They get free from material existence by bhakti yoga. Prasanna manaso. What is that elsewhere? Brahmabhuta prasanatma. Mind doesn't become satisfied in rajas and tamas. In tamas it becomes mopey, and in rajas it becomes mad. Inflamed. Stittam sattva precedity, in pure goodness in Krishna consciousness. Precedity becomes satisfied. Prasanna manaso. People are averse to their own welfare. Nate vidu svartakatim. Okay. Diseased condition.
I just had one more for the list, which is in Japan, there's a delicacy called fugu.
Fugu.
It's blowfish. But they're very poisonous.
Hmm.
And there's special chefs. They go to school to learn how to prepare it, because if they don't do it right, then people eat it and they die. So there's restaurants around Japan where they have the sign that says, you can come eat fugu. But every once in a while, they get the wrong one. So just for the risk of...
Yeah.
They risk just for that taste. Hmm.
Even now with this AIDS thing, so sex has become a high-risk sport. But they don't mind. Tripyanti neha kripana. Bahuduka bhajan. Big miseries. Risking death. Yeah, there was a question.
Maharaj, this verse specifically talks about accidental fall downs. Mm. What about who want to be Krishna conscious and they are yet under the grip of bad habits? Mm. They are under the grip of bad habits even though they want to be Krishna conscious. Will that kind of...
And if they take seriously to Krishna consciousness, they'll be freed from bad habits. That's our experience, you know, movement was built with people with bad habits. But they become... The Prabhupada said there was one Jagai Madhai, now there are thousands of Jagai Madhais. But Tar Sakshi, Jagai Madhai, also become Krishna conscious. Chaito Dharpana Marjana.
So one of the ways, Maharaj, they say to control the mind is to... reduce our attachments. And so is it okay to be attached to a devotee?
Yeah, actually the Krishna consciousness means to increase our attachment. But the attachment to Krishna should be increased. Just reducing material attachment will be a difficult strategy, because the mind wants to be attached to something. It can't be just detached from everything and floating in the... That's the Mayavadi approach, and it's very difficult. But when the mind is attached to Krishna, then it's attached. All right, give me something to be attached to. Don't just tell me, not this, not this, not this, not this. Then what is there? Yes, there's Shravanam, Kirtanam. There's all the activities of Krishna consciousness by which we become attached to Krishna. And Krishna means with his devotees. So we're attached to the association of devotees, we're attached to the holy name of Krishna, we're attached. That attachment is good. Then automatically you become detached. Param drishtva.
They say at the end of life, during the last breath, we should be thinking about Krishna. And if a person is attached to a devotee, he might end up thinking about the devotee. And is that okay thing?
Just like the spiritual master is a devotee. So if one becomes attached to the spiritual master, then thinking of the spiritual master means thinking of Krishna. We can't think of the spiritual master separately from Krishna. As soon as you're thinking of the spiritual master, Krishna is there.
That would would apply to if somebody has a child and the child is a devotee of the Lord. Like typically people are very attached to their children and at the time of death they are thinking about their children. And but if the child is a devotee... Is
yeah, therefore if therefore the child children should all become pure devotees. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, because he was a pure devotee, so his mother also went back to Godhead. The trouble is that children don't always become pure devotees. And the mothers tend to be to overestimate the spiritual position. Or just to look at it another way, that parents are attached to their children. And it's one strategy is to say, well, I'm not really attached to my child. It's just because he's a devotee. But he's not much of a devotee. Or it's still largely in relationship to the bodily platform of life. Why only my child? There are so many other children who are also devotees. Why this child? And in bodily conception of life, that's there. Still, even though it's the bodily conception of the life, the child becomes a pure devotee. It doesn't matter. I thought of him because he's my child or because he becomes Krishna conscious, we become Krishna conscious. Or the husband is generally the women think of their husbands. So if the husband is a pure devotee, then the wife goes back to Godhead.
One more question, Maharaj. So, Sata, does this also apply to, if a child is a devotee, does it also apply to their parents who are dead? Or does it apply only during the lifetime?
Does what apply?
Like, you know, if a child is a devotee, then the parents will get affected by that. But child is dead, if the parent is dead, does it transfer?
Yeah. Prahlad Maharaj, Nrisingadev told him, what about not only your father, but 10 generations are liberated because you're my devotee? Yes. Hare Krishna. Some other question?
Manjil.
We should become attached to the association of devotees. By thinking of the devotees, we're thinking of Krishna. Mukta Sangasya Jayate.
Manjil, what is the stages from repentance? How does a devotee... He repents and then what happens? How does he become a pure devotee without no desires?
Stages. Stages. He repents and he becomes pure. His mind becomes purified. Mind becomes purified, becomes more fixed in Krishna consciousness. Mind becomes fixed in Krishna consciousness, attains perfection. Is that okay? You had something else in mind? Stage one, stage two.
No, I think what you said is very much related to what Krishna says in 12th chapter. He at the start, he says, the mind is fixed on me. That is the highest thing. And later, if that is not fixed, do sadhana bhakti, that is not fixed, you go this. So why does Krishna single out mind from all the other senses?
Mind is the center of the senses. Sense central. Grand central sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's the place where all the senses converge. Or it's the place they all converge there and they all take their direction also sometimes. When the mind is purified, the senses take their direction from the mind, which takes its direction from the intelligence. Otherwise, the senses are pulling on the mind. So if the mind is uncontrolled, then it's dragged here and there by the senses. The mind is compared to a man with 5 wives. You know, he's got like one wife is saying, come on, let's enjoy. Another wife saying, come on, let's enjoy. Another, come on, let's enjoy. You know, poor guy's being pulled in all directions. So the senses are all pulling on the mind. So if the mind, if one can be sober-minded, then the senses are automatically controlled. Because the senses are saying to the mind, hey, come on. And the mind is saying, relax. Or just simply, no.
Mm-hmm.
Or the mind is saying, no, your business is to be engaged in the service of Krishna. And the mind is on target, the senses are automatically included.
But the mind is controlled by the intelligence.
Yes.
So why doesn't Krishna talk about the intelligence?
He does. Samstabhyatmanam atmana. Udhared atmanatmanam. Atmanam avasani. One should uplift oneself by the mind, by the intelligence. And elsewhere, budhyad vyayad dharyate. Many places. Indriyani pranyahur indriyebhya param manaha manasastu para buddher yo buddhe paratastu sa. Then what comes? Evam buddhe param buddhva, by the intelligence. Samstabhyatmanam atmana. Chahi shatrum mahabaho kamarupam duras. One has to control these material desires by, Prabhupada says, steady the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence, by spiritual strength. Buddha by Buddhi. So it's there. Buddhi yoga mupashritya machchita satatam bhava. That's Buddhi yoga. Always thinking of Krishna. Yes.
So one would need to come into that knowledge to be able to do this, because it seems always that there is a leap that has to occur or some transition. There are these people who are bewildered, and then at the same time there is this knowledge that is available over here. But they are not able to take that leap. We know there are, of course, methods that Krishna consciousness is communicated to them, it would happen, or they meet a devotee, it would happen. But it seems that that barrier that is there, or that transition that has to occur, that step, would be a big step in the lives of these people.
It is. Big step for the better. Therefore, there's a slow process. There's the varnashram system, which gradually elevates someone. But it's slow. If you want to get somewhere fast, you have to take big steps. It's not... Yes, we want to make fast progress, you have to take some big steps. It's not this blind leaping that they talk about. And even Prabhupada describes it as a gradual process, cleansing process, and you can say a gradual process of change. So sometimes we see people gradually, slowly, you know. But then other people, you know, say, you know, why gradually, slowly? Let's get going. Let's get somewhere. The process is there by association with devotees, to have some interest, first of all, then to associate with devotees and place oneself under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, and then perform the activities that will invoke one's Krishna consciousness. Then, anartha nivritti, the unwanted things from within the heart, will start to disappear. Then one becomes attached to Krishna. Then strong faith develops. Then gradually attachment, ecstasy. Finally, love for Krishna. It's not that we're jumping into love for Krishna. Actually, there's so many processes, or they're not even a process. It's just, you know, jump. Like there's a, you know, there's a program, and it's like a strong message is put out, and there's sort of everything builds to a crescendo, and then now who will come forward and give their life? Who will come forward and say, Lord, from this day on, I'm yours. You know, so there's this big emotional thing, and somebody's, you know, comes forward and gives his life and signs on the line and, you know, pledges that, oh Lord, from this day. But it's hard to make that stick. You know, maybe in some cases somebody, his life really does change, but mostly what happens is, you know, there's this like warm feeling and everything changes for a week or so. And then what they call in the trade backsliding. Because what's the process by which the heart really becomes purified? Is it just you know, to surrender? I mean, we also say surrender. But there's a surrendering process. There's a cleansing process. Especially built upon chanting the holy name of Krishna. Then by chanting, by hearing, by association, and so on, mind becomes purified. And then these steps become, in one sense, they become natural incremental steps. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And sometimes they go really fast. It's not like leaping, but, you know, first I'm going to get on highway, you know, I'm going to get on I-95 out on the East Coast, and then I'm going to take it here, and then I'm going to go to there, and then, you know, within 2 hours I'm at my destination. It's not that I have to say, well, wait a second, this is too fast. Can I do a Google map and find, you know, how I can turn it into 16 hours? But it's you know, it's one step after another, and then you get there. So it's like that. Devotional service is a process. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, practically you can, any religious path or spiritual path, you can just parse the whole thing down to two questions. What's the goal? What's the process? If the goal's no good, forget the whole thing. It's taking you where you don't want to go. If the goal's good, what's the process? If the process is no good, you're not going to get there. Or if the process is circuitous or doubtful or sort of one man's opinion, then, you know. So our goal is very clear. We want to be engaged in the devotional service of the personality of Godhead, Krishna, the absolute truth. And our process is this chanting of Hare Krishna, association with devotees, and step by step, bhajana kriya, nartana vritti. It's not just close your eyes and jump. Map is there, so many books.
Would the goal be the same thing as purpose of life? If one were to ask in Krishna consciousness, what is the purpose of life? Would
it
be the same
purpose, thing? Same thing. Our process, our goal means to attain the purpose of life, yeah. So that's the first thing, have a clarity about the goal. And right there, people are bewildered. I'm this body and my goal is sense gratification. Gross or subtle. And it doesn't matter what the process is, the goal's wrong. Why is it wrong? Because it's not going to satisfy anyone. It will be just leading to termination, frustration first, because it's not going to satisfy the soul. And finally, it's going to be over. So it can't be the right goal. That's the goal. Eat, sleep, mate, and defend and die. That's the goal of life. That's for the dogs. So, Vasudeva Parabe, and all the Vedas are directing us toward Krishna, toward devotional service. Yesham tu antakatam papam. Jananam, after many, many births, bahunam janmanam ante ganavan. After cultivating knowledge for so many births, one comes to the conclusion, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Krishna is everything, let me surrender. The Prabhupada said, if I'm going to reach that conclusion after many, many births, why not just do it now? Why stretch the thing out? Yes. Do we stop? Yeah? Oh, we keep going. Okay.
So what makes a soul stretch things out? Like when
causeless unwillingness to serve Krishna.
So it's the willpower. Making the wrong choices.
He doesn't really want to be Krishna conscious. Just like you meet these people, and they're seekers. But that's their business, is to be seekers. If there's a goal, that spoils everything. You know, seek and you shall find. No, I don't want to find. I want to seek. Because they're actually averse to the goal. They want all the romance of being seekers. But they don't want the commitment of having, you know, the real goal there.
So when souls fall down from Vaikuntha planets, do they come with, I don't know, for the lack of a better word I'm just using, do they come down with a certain degree of degradation? Like one soul will be more inclined to go back faster, other soul will be more like a seeker and an enjoyer more? Or do they all start from Brahma's planet and then... Or do they come at, you know?
Well, it's one of those questions, because Anadi Bahirmukh, you can hardly trace a beginning to the whole thing. So a start, because in the spiritual world there's no time. There's only time here. So tracing starts, and once you're here for always, and once you're always there. So it's tracing out a start point for eternally conditioned life is problematic. But sometimes it's said that we all become Brahma first. Sometimes Prabhupada says that. But at this point, what does it matter? You know, trillions of lifetimes later, what our start point was. We'd like to see the end point. We're looking that way rather than, if you look, try to look this way, there's no end, because it's anadi. There's not no end, there's no beginning. So you in that sense there's no end. It's an endless endeavor to try to find out where it all began. But if you look the other way, you can find the end. Prabhupada said in this one lifetime you can finish everything. Anadi Bahir Mukji Bhogavan Chakani. Shall we stop? If we have to. Maybe we won't stop. We'll just start the next program. That's better. Okay. Thank you all very much. I'll go and see you at
we can have an exercise in efficiency and see how quickly and devotionally we can put away the books and all the asanas. We'd like to thank His Holiness Jayadwaita Swami once again for giving us this association. Please, Hare Krishna.
Thank you to Vaisheshika Prabhu. Thank you to Vaisheshika Prabhu for pulling me in.